Well, it is good to be in church this morning and good to see each of you here. Earlier this week, when thinking about today and thinking about, you know, what the sermon would be, I usually start that process around Monday, I thought and I prayed, Lord, what is it that I could say? What could we look at? What subject could we deal with that we all need to hear? Me, you, all of us. What would be something that would benefit all of us as a church? And I kept coming back to the 23rd Psalm. It is, and I say this too often, it is my favorite passage of Scripture. There are a lot of them that are my favorite passage of Scripture, but I can tell you, I learned to recite this passage of Scripture when I was a small child. It's one of the first things that I learned in the Bible, and it has kind of been a recurring theme throughout my life, and I think it is for many, many other people. And so what I would like for us to do this morning, a little bit different, on the back of your bulletin is the 23rd Psalm. I would like for us to recite this together. You think we can do that? We coordinated enough that we can all read this together. I'll kind of be the leader and you know, cue off of me. Okay, so Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God add to the reading of his Scripture. I love that passage of Scripture, and it is, very honestly, one of my favorite passages, not just because of what it says, but because of the way it says it. It is poetic. It is a song. It is art. It is all of those things, but at the same time, it conveys a very serious message, and one that I need to hear and one that you need to hear. So this morning, we're going to briefly go through the 23rd Psalm verse by verse or parcel by parcel, and we're going to look at what maybe it can say to you and I. The first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. People from the beginning of time have identified with animals, and they admire, you know, some of the attributes or characteristics maybe of a specific animal, and they think of that kind of as their kindred spirit. It didn't take long for marketing executives to figure this out and kind of key some of their products or sports teams in that way. And so we have the Ford Mustang, right? Everybody loved the Mustang, or most of us at least. We had the Plymouth Barracuda, maybe a little less well known. The Mercury Cougar, and a few, many others, but those are a few examples. Similarly, sports teams have kind of identified with certain animals. So, for example, here in Sherman, we have the Sherman Bearcats, right? We also have the Howe Bulldogs not far from us. Texas is represented by the Longhorn. And Arkansas, of course, is represented by the Arkansas Razorbacks. In fact, I have a friend in Arkansas talking to one day, and he said, you know, if thousands of years from now society has crumbled and archaeologists come in and they're digging here, looking at people in this area or trying to find remains, they'll probably come to the conclusion that these people worshiped hogs because there's razorback images everywhere, right? And that's not at all true. We identify with some of those. Have you ever seen a sports team called the sheep? just not quite as catchy, is it? We're going to be the Sherman sheep, right? The closest thing I know of to that is Austin College and the kangaroos. And who came up with the idea that kangaroo would be a good mascot? I do not know. But there it is. I would say, though, that for the animals we look at, sheep are, in fact, a much better animal to emulate than are bearcats or tigers or wolves or razorbacks or longhorns. All of those things are great, but sheep have a very special relationship. They are much more of an animal of relationships than pretty much everything else. Sheep, along with dogs, were probably the first animals to be domesticated. Sheep, as I say, have a relationship to their owners. You know, we drive cattle. We take whips and horses and we yell at them and scream and make noise and we force them to go in the direction we want them to go. And we do the same with many other animals. Sheep follow. We have a shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you look back at the imagery of the shepherds and sheep, particularly in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was a very, very close relationship between man and animal. Literally, at night, when the shepherd would gather the sheep together, they would try to build some kind of an enclosure, maybe out of logs or maybe it was rock or whatever, and there would be a small gate and the shepherd would put the sheep in and the shepherd would lay down in that gate and he would sleep there so that nothing could get to the sheep unless it went through him, and the sheep could not get out unless they went by him. I think that is very symbolic of our relationship with Jesus Christ. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah quoting God or speaking on behalf of God as the prophets do, he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, I don't believe in and I don't preach this prosperity theology, so-called. You can give every dime you own to the church, and that will not make you wealthy. God's not going to send you a fortune because you put money into the tithes plate. And I know that's not a popular thing for preachers to say. And sometimes church leaders say, preacher, you need to kind of lay off of that because we need the money. But that's the truth. It's not a pay-to-play kind of thing. And what little bit of money I've got has little difference to what God wants. God doesn't need my money. I need to give him my money. It benefits me when I pay tithe much more than it benefits God to receive my tithes. I do that for me and for my family, not for God. But I will say this. I have found from experience over all of these years of my life that when I seek God's will and trust the shepherd, good things happen. And when I do things my way, as I'm sure my wife will testify, bad things happen, right? That's just a reality. I make a mess of things, but if I will be obedient, as a sheep is obedient, if I will follow, If I will do what I am told to do by the shepherd, good things will happen. I love the song the cathedral sing. And this is a side note. This is one of those for what it's worth. I don't care much for a lot of music. In fact, if you go back and look at the old country songs, a lot of them are filthy. If you look at rock and roll, a lot of it's not fit to listen to. And I don't know about this rap and all of this nonsense that's out there now. It's no good. If you want to hear good music and you want to teach your children good music, listen to gospel music, and particularly, in my opinion, Southern gospel music. It has real message. It has real depth. So the Cathedrals, one of the groups that I love so much, sang a song, and I can remember very well when my boys sang this song. It's called Who Owns the Cattle? Let's see, it says, Who Can Do Anything is the name of the song. But it goes, Who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, watches over us and always will? Nobody but my Lord. Who can do, who can do, who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master. I love the message in that. You see, when I worry about finances and I worry about this and I worry about that, the reality is the shepherd that I follow owns the cattle on a thousand hills. It's all his. And he can take care of me without any issue. The Bible says he knows every sparrow if it should fall. He knows me and he knows you. We are his sheep, and he loves his sheep. The psalmist had it right when he said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We focus very often when the 23rd Psalm is talked about. This is the scripture in that psalm that we seem to gravitate toward. And it is important. We live literally in a valley of the shadow of death. And I'll tell you honestly, I have an extreme dislike for Halloween. That's kind of a confession, I guess. I don't like demons, ghouls, ghosts, graves, and death. And I honestly fail to understand why a lot of people seem to be so obsessed with those things. We used to have a couple here in Sherman. They still be around. I hadn't seen them in a long time. They drove an old hearse. I got it at a wrecking yard or something. They drove around this old hearse. And he always wore a black frock coat and a tall black hat like he was an undertaker. And his wife, girlfriend, whatever, significant other, dressed like she was dead. And I guess they wanted attention. I get it. But people, that's not humorous. That's not pleasant. That's not enjoyable. Death is not a pretty thing. We live in a valley where death is a reality. I have done many funerals. I don't know why, but for some reason, I think I have conducted many more funerals than I have weddings, and I would prefer to do the weddings. But one of the things, and I would wager you've heard a similar comment, people walk by and they look at the person in the casket and they'll say, they look so natural. No, that's not natural. Laying flat of your back, stiff as a board, with makeup smeared all over you, is not natural. And I don't want anybody saying, I doubt my casket will be open and I won't have a lot of say about it, but don't look at me when I'm dead and say, he looks so natural. Doesn't he look good? No, that's not good. That's dead. Death is not a good thing. Death is a terrible thing, but it's a reality. It is around all of us, and we are close to it every single day. People that we love die. It's reality. we will die. When we leave here today and we get out on the highway, we are a heartbeat away from death. At any moment, someone could come across the line and hit us and kill us. Death is that fast, is that quick that it can be on us. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be a long time, but it's still there. Death is a reality. I remember years ago, and I'm not even sure why I was there, but for some reason I was in a military recruiter's office, and there was a sign on the wall behind it. It stuck with me. It said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I'm the meanest SOB in the valley." I thought, no, you're not. You know, I understand that you give that kind of thought and mentality to young men, especially if you want them to go into battle and charge a beach or do whatever like that. You have to kind of build up that bravado and what have you. People, we're not mean. We're not bad people. We're just people. And we will all face the fact of our own mortality. We will all see people that we love dearly, that we care about. We will see them die. I learned that at a very young age. I've conducted funeral services for people that really turned into a celebration. Sometimes death is not as painful as a lot of people make it out to be. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Yes, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we have God with us. "Thou art with me. You comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I believe people in general, especially children, want to know where the boundaries are. They want to know the limits. I remember as a young man, I kind of knew what I could do and what I couldn't do, and I knew when I reached that point where I was in trouble. But I always knew whatever happened, I could go to my parents and they'd be on my side. I have tried to convey that to my children, to my wife and children, and for whatever else I may have been or done or said, I hope they always understood that if the devil himself came to our front door, as inadequate as I may be, I would be there to face him. That was my job. How much greater to know I have a Father in heaven who is able, much more than I ever will be, to face all of those challenges. So when life turns gloomy, when we realize we're in a valley here and things are looking really bad, when I don't think I'm going to make it, I have a God who is with me and who is almighty, who controls the universe, and he will take care of me. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." You know, I had thought initially to relay my personal experience, and I don't really want to do that. This is not about me. It is about all of us. But here is the truth of this scripture. We all get in those places and we have people that are our enemies. I hope I don't have a lot of them, but I do have some people that I feel like are my enemies that would like to hurt me. And I have found that if I live right and do right, if I follow the shepherd, he prepares a table before me right in their presence, right where they see me dining and feasting and doing well. There used to be a saying go around that said living well is the best revenge or best reward or best something. And that is true in a lot of ways. I don't think it means so much about wealth as it does just the fact that we have a good life, a happy life, a pleasant life, even in spite of those people and those things that would harm us. At a point in my life when I was very, very low, I prayed seriously for a long period of time, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I felt kind of lost and just wandering around. "Show me what you would have me do and I'll do it." Bizarrely enough, in the middle of the night one night, I woke up and I felt like, I believe, God spoke to me and wanted me to clean up the property that was Sherman Church of the Nazarene on. We went there at the time. And so I did that. Wore out two or three chainsaws. My son and my wife, as usual, were right there with me. We wore out an old car. We skidded brush or logs, and we cleaned brush, and we did all of that. And after a period of time, we left there. The church decided to go contemporary, and we didn't feel comfortable, and we left. And I wondered, what was that all about? Why did I do that? And about 2 months later, a man called me and said, "I want to sell you a piece of property." And Mike Bernard, and I said, "Mike, I can't buy any property." He said, "No, I've got 2 acres out on Highway 82 just on the east side of town. I want to sell it to you." I said, "I can't afford it." He said, "I will make it so cheap that you can't afford not to buy it." And he did. And this is our property. And as I closed on that sale and started back home, I drove by that property that I had cleaned up, and just as though someone were sitting in the car with me, it was like, here's the payment for being obedient to clean that property up. When it came time to build a church, we already had the property. City of Sherman decided to run a water line here and give us a water meter and a fire hydrant and so on and so forth. So it was all there. And saying all of that, when I come in here on Sunday mornings and I hear the singing and I see the grace and the love, the joy on people's faces, my cup runneth over. That is a happy life. I don't care about having $1 million or whatever. This is a good life. I see it in the faces of people, and I see it in the things you do. Every morning, I'm going to pick on him a little bit. I don't think he'll mind. Every morning about 5:30 or 6 a.m., my phone dings, and I have a devotional message from Mike Monocle. I love that. My cup runneth over. Not too long ago, I was standing in the back of the church, and I saw one of the members say to another one, "I've got something for you. I think you need this. I want to give it to you." I could see that genuine compassion, that genuine love between people. My cup runneth over. I saw my son get married right up here on this stage. I have seen my grandchildren and other people sing in this church. I have seen people come to the altar and get problems that they were dealing with taken care of. And I can't help but say, my cup runneth over. That's what's important in life. That's what means something. When I have the privilege of hearing all of you participate in church, I know that whatever little thing that I have done has been so much worth it. He feeds me, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that in this entire passage, this scripture is my favorite part of this. This is a promise. Goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. Wow. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I watch the news just as you do, and sometimes I wonder, you know, how is this country going to stand? the economy may fall into a depression. It has happened before. The entire world may go into another world war. It has happened before. I may lose everything I own financially. And again, fortunately, it has happened before. The people I love most in this world may die. And that has happened before also. But I know this. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. As Horatio Spafford wrote in his song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I will live in the house of God for eternity." Wow. We're going to know each other, I believe, for eternity. You might as well get to where you like me because I'm going to be around for a really, really long time, right? And the same with you. We need to learn to love each other. We need to learn to work together. We need to learn to be family because we will dwell in the house of God for eternity. Please stand. You know, as our musicians come, I would say this. Being a sheep is a choice. It's not like I'm born a sheep and there's nothing I can do about it, or I'm born a goat and there's nothing I can do about it. Being a sheep spiritually is a choice. Now, you can choose to be a lion, a bear cat, a longhorn, whatever. I'll be a sheep. And I would invite anyone who needs to, who wants to come to the altar this morning. That journey begins here as we sing.